a little hint. With that particular melody and rhythm, it's the last line is actually different than the first three lines. It's good. It's like Satyat Shisho Vivagavan Tabapada Padman Hashishtitanu Bhajata Purusharthamute Apyeva Marya Bhagavan Paripati Dinam. And then Vashreva Vatsakamanu Graha Katarosman. It's a little bit different. The melody for the last line of the verse. Everyone understands that? We got some music. That's nice. Free music. Okay. Satya. Real. Achisha. Compared with other benedictions. He. Certainly. Bhagavan. My Lord. Tava. Your. Padapadmam. Lotus feet. Ashihi. Benediction. Tata. In that way. Anubhajataha. For the devotees. Purusha Artha. Of the real goal of life. Murtehe. The personification. Api. Although. Evam. Thus. Arya. O Lord. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Paripati, maintains, Dinan, the poor in heart, Vasra, a cow, Eva, like, Vatsakam, unto the calf. Anugraha, to bestow mercy. Kataraha, eager. Asman, upon me. So in translation, my Lord, O Supreme Lord, you are the supreme personified form of all benediction. Therefore, for one who abides in your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. That is the benediction of worshipping your lotus feet. To ignorant devotees like me, you are the causelessly merciful maintainer, just like a cow, who takes care of the newly born calf by supplying milk and giving it protection from attack. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dhrupa Maharaj was cognizant, that means he was aware, of the defective nature of his own devotional service. Pure devotional service is without material form and is not covered by mental speculation or fruitive activities. Pure devotional service is therefore called ahituki, unmotivated. Dhrupa Maharaj knew that he had come to worship the Lord in devotional service with a motive to get the kingdom of his Father. Such an adulterated devotee can never see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He therefore felt very grateful for the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is so merciful that not only does he fulfill the desires of a devotee who is driven by ignorance and desires for material benefit, but he also gives such a devotee all protection, just as a cow gives milk to a newly born calf. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord gives intelligence to the constantly engaged devotee so that he may gradually approach the Lord without difficulty. A devotee must be very sincere in his devotional service. Then, though there may be many things wrong on the devotee's part, Krishna will guide him and gradually elevate him to the highest position of devotional service. The Lord is addressed herein by Dhruva Maharaj as Purusharta Murti, the ultimate goal of life. Generally, Purusharta is taken to mean execution of a type of religious principle or worship of God in order to get material benediction. Prayers for material benediction are intended for satisfying the senses. And when one is frustrated and cannot fully satisfy the senses, in spite of all endeavor, he He desires liberation or freedom from material existence. These activities are generally called purusharta. But actually, the ultimate goal is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called panchama purusharta, the ultimate goal of life. It also means the fifth goal of life. Panch, like pancha tattva, panchama purusharta. Lord Chaitanya therefore taught us not to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead any benedictions such as material wealth, popularity, or a good wife. One should simply pray to the Lord to be constantly engaged in his transcendental loving service. Dhruva Maharaj, being cognizant, that means aware, of his desire for material benefit, wanted protection from the Lord so that he may not be misled or deviated from the path of devotional service by material desires. Okay. Satya shisho hi bhagavan stava pada padmam ashishtatanu bhajata purushartha mutte apyeva marya bhagavan paripati tihinam vashreva vatsakam anugraha khatu rosman. All right. So, Om Ganat Simadanda Shah. Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, this is the famous story of Dhruva Maharaj being very determined to get a kingdom greater than that of his great grandfather, who happened to be Lord Brahma. And you can't get a kingdom better than that, practically speaking. And approaching the Supreme Lord with determination to get that kingdom. So, this story is very instructive for us, too. Because regardless of what you may think about yourself, you may think that you're a pure devotee, have no material desires, I simply want your causeless devotional service life after life. You may be saying that every morning thinking, yeah, that's me. You do have some desires other than Krishna consciousness. I mean, maybe you all don't. Okay, I don't want to insult anybody. But basically, yes, probably do. And those desires are bhukti, mukti, siddhi. Therefore, sense gratification, because that's bhukti, which is also expressed as bhoja, bhog, that sense gratification. Mukti, liberation, or you know, some power in this world, prestige in this world, siddhi. So, and Krishna says in the Gita, very honestly, he says what? Chatur vidha vajanti ma. People come to me for material motives, right? He says they want wealth. They're inquisitive. You know, they just want to find out what the devotees are doing, dressed so strangely, with their bald heads and dancing in the street. You know, what's it all about? Or they want knowledge. Or they're in distress. So, basically, if we have to be introspective. Introspective means to look. Introspective means like these are spectacles. So, introspectacle or introspective means to look inside. That would be extrospective. Would be looking outside. Introspective means looking inside. Then we have to admit we do have some motives, right? Right? I mean, there is some motive. I mean, at least the motive, we want to be happy. Because in pure devotional service, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his last, the Shikshashika, as described by Lord Chaitanya, that pure devotional service means you don't even worry about being happy, right? It's just like, Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace. You may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You can do anything you want, and I'll remain your worshipful Lord. You'll remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. It's like, in this world, let's say someone is married, and the wife says to the husband, you can do anything you want. You can be a debauchee, run around with any other lady you like. spend all of our money, leave me for 10 years and go to Vrindavan, you know, just don't pay the bills. Right? Is there any such wife? You men, you should ask for the wife like that. But you're not Krishna. That's the problem. You can't have a wife like that. You have a wife who wants money for the bills, attention, jewelry. What else? Any ideas? Sorry about that. I forgot that. Sorry. Food. Yeah.
A house.
Children. What else? I'm sure there's a lot of other things. A car. Security, attention, flowers. Like the deities get flowers. The ladies need flowers on what, Valentine's Day? You have, yeah. So anyway, that's pure devotion. What's called a haituki or haitu. That means without any cause. In the material world, devotion or love has some cause. And if you stop with the cause, you stop with the devotion. Right? Then love quickly turns to hate. You know, like you see this many times. That, you know, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Why don't you get anything from me? I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. It's a, you know, very quick like that, isn't it? But Radharani, or Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani, is saying, you may crush me by your brain. So basically, at least we want to be happy. You know, we're not saying that to Krishna, right? And certainly we're not praying like Queen Kunti prayed. You know, Krishna, let these disturbances happen again and again. Is anyone praying like that? Tatra Tatra, Jagat Guru. You know, please let me get sick. Please let me, people attack me. So I'll remember you always. Does any of you pray like that? No, when we get sick, we pray, Krishna, cure me. Right? Isn't it? I mean, if you have some pain in the back, especially if you get older, you get all sorts of pains. Or some devotee or some person attacks you, say, Krishna, please save me. So we're not really on that platform right now of ahaitaki bhakti. We have some desires, or some of us have desires for liberation. I just, as I've told the devotees many times, when I joined the movement, I really had an intense desire for liberation. I wanted to get, as they say, the hell out of the material world. Right? You want to get out of it. So every day, when I took rest at night, I would put my bead bag, wherever it is, here it is. I'd put the bead bag in my hand, wrap it around my hand and my bead bag, wrap it around my hand, go to sleep like that. And before I went to sleep, I'd pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, kill me tonight. So I can go back to God and get out of this miserable material world because the temple president is too heavy. Devotees aren't nice to me. You know, all sorts of prayers like that. So, you know, the point is we should see what's there in our hearts and not think that we are on a higher platform than we're at. And therefore, we're ready to understand the gopis, the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. You know, people jump up like, I hear this all the time, right? When Prabhupada was on the planet, you didn't hear it so much. But after Prabhupada left, then people started thinking they were more advanced than they actually were. I mean, a little bit when Prabhupada was on the planet, but Prabhupada was there. One time they had a gopi club. In Los Angeles, the Gopi Baba Club in Los Angeles, and they were having regular meetings, you know, discussing, you must be a Mandari Gopi. Oh, we got a Mandari Gopi here. Anyway, I forgot about that. You must be an Apsara. Anyway, they were having discussions. And then Prabhupada, when he heard about it, he got so angry, his face turned, you know, red. And he's so angry, you know, stop it, it's going to destroy the movement, it's going to destroy the preaching in the movement. And practically, I've seen that. that when people get interested prematurely in these things, they actually lose interest in helping others. You know, they lose the natural compassion that is there in a Vaishnava. The real test that one is actually on the highest platform of devotional service is that their compassion increases. Like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have the story of Srimati Radharani, who is certainly on the highest platform of devotional service. I don't think anyone has any arguments about that. And she is so compassionate. There's a devotee who's worshipping her on the earth planet. He's a Brahmin from Mathura. And he's actually worshipping her expansion, her Durga expansion. And she's sitting there in the spiritual world, and she's feeling so compassionate upon this worshiper of Durga, who happens to be an expansion of Radharani, that she calls Gopakumara over to her, whose name is Sarupa at that point in the spiritual world. And he says to him, go there and save him. And so Gopakumara, who is also on the high platform, pure platform of devotional service, coward boy, he goes to the material world and to preach to this material brahmana. And he tells the Mathura Brahmana the whole story of how he came to Krishna consciousness, which is the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I think some of you have read that, right? Some of you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? No. Anyway, very important book. It's Sanatana Goswami's foundational book. That means it's the practically the original book written by the Goswamis from which all the other books sprout. You know, like a foundational root book. So that's a test, that one is on the highest platform, that one is no longer self-centered, thinking about themselves. And the proof that someone is a sahaja is that they are thinking about their own enjoyment, right? I want to enjoy the gopi vows, my internal life, the hell with all of you, let you all go to hell. I mean, sometimes I joke like that. I say, let you all go to hell, I'm going to go to hell. But that is not high platform. High platform is Vancha Kalpa Dhruvyascha, Kripa Sindhu, Kripa, ocean of mercy. So right now, let's get to our position. Right now, we do find ourselves with all these desires. What do we do about it? Because we have that offense on chanting Hare Krishna. Does anyone know the 10th offense? No one knows. Maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions in the matter. So, what am I going to do? I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and then the attachment's coming out. I want money, you know, as you're chanting. Or at least, you're chanting Hare Krishna, I can't wait till prasadam. Or you're going to Bhagavatam class, I wish this guy would stop already so I could eat. I mean, there's so many things that go through the mind, isn't it? And so what about that 10 offense on chanting? Are we committing offenses just by thinking like that? Well, the offense on chanting is to maintain material attachments. But it's not offensive to have material attachments. There's a little bit of difference. Like Dhruva Maharaj, let's get to the point here. Dhruva Maharaj was not offending the Lord by chanting with material attachments. It's interesting, isn't it? He was chanting, right? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. With material attachments. Asking for a material thing, wasn't he? When he started. You all know that story? He was chanting, I want a kingdom, Hare Krishna. He wasn't going Hare Krishna, but he was going, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I want a kingdom. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. My stepmother, remember his stepmother, Suruchi? You know the story? Suruchi had kicked him off the lap of his father, Uttanapada. So he was, you know, obviously these things were going through his mind. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I must have a kingdom. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I must have a kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. So that, if it was offensive chanting, right, he wouldn't have achieved perfection. So because he wasn't engaged in offensive chanting, he wasn't increasing the material attachment, even after understanding so many instructions. All right, so how do we increase the material attachment? What's the process? Process is a satsanga, right? Isn't that how you increase material attachment? A satsanga. Or karanam gunasangasya sadasa janma jonishu. By association with the modes of nature. So let's say you want to increase material attachment. Okay, let's go to the karaoke club tonight. You have that here? You don't have karaoke clubs here? That's where you stand on the stage. You know about these things. You have them in Italy. I'm sure you have them in Italy. And the Italian people, they like good food, good music, dancing, and a little work. Right? So, Slovenia, a lot of work and a little dancing. Different culture, right? So, getting back to the point. So that would be increasing material, doing things to increase material attachments, isn't it? Like if we go to a club or drink, break the regulated principles, get into mundane activities. I mean, it's also hard to understand what are mundane activities because we need some recreation too, right? Like if someone goes and exercises, that's not necessarily mundane activity. It could be spiritual activity because they're exercising to stay strong to serve Krishna, right? So it's not that if you see me riding a bicycle that I'm in Maya because I need it. You want to keep the heart going a few years longer. So, but anyway, so that's increasing material attachment, maintaining, increasing. But Dhruva Maharaj wasn't maintaining the material attachment. He was aware of them and engaging them in Krishna service. Like Prabhupada said, whatever you do or were doing before, you engage it in Krishna service. That's called dovetailing. Dovetailing, you know, whatever situation you're in. So that requires a certain honesty in oneself. It requires being introspective to understand where you are at and what your desires are. And I'm not advocating, you know, praying to Krishna for something material. That's not what I'm advocating. But being aware of it. And if you have to approach someone, it's better to approach Krishna. What is that saying? Akama sarva kama moksha kama dharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That's from the Bhagavatam. Whether one is full of material desires, whether one is free of material desires, whether one is desirous of liberation, moksha kama, one should enthusiastically worship Krishna. And that's really the point. And as we were mentioning yesterday, very briefly, during the marriage ceremony and the initiation, even if you study the Shikshashtika, you get some hint of that. Like if there are certain verses in the Shikshashtika that, like, Even I and Anda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Buddha Kripya Tava Pada Pankajastita Duli Sadrasambhachintya. That's the mood of trying to get out of the material world, isn't it? O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. Somehow or other, I'm in this horrible material world. Vishame Bhavam Buddha, that's the literal translation. I'm in this world, please fix me as the atom and save me. So one is asking to be saved by the Lord. Or going back to Godhead. You understand? So there's, if you study the Shikshashtika, there's something for everybody. Isn't it? Like even the first verse, you get happiness. Cheto, Dharvana, cleansing the heart. Bhava, Mahat, Vajni, Nirvarpanam, Shreya. Vidyabhat is the life of all transcendent, or the wife. Or Vidya, Vadu can also mean wife instead of life. But anyway, Vijayavadu Jivanam Anandam Bhuti Vardhanam. It gives you unlimited happiness, unlimited intelligence. Patipadam Purnamritas Vardhanam. At every step, one tastes the nectar. So you get, you know, happiness. So there's the happiness factor there. Right? So basically, studying the Shikshashtika, you can actually get prayers basically for whatever stage you're at in devotional service. It's interesting, isn't it? There's a prayer that fits you at your particular stage in devotional service. And you get into that mood. And when you're in that mood, while you're praying, while you're chanting, then you'll be attentive. We've been giving a lot of classes about this lately, that people ask, how can I be attentive while I'm chanting? The reason you're not attentive is you're chanting with your mind rather than with your heart. And if you're chanting with your mind, then the mind wanders. Chanchalahi manaha krishna pramati balavadridam tashaham nidraham vayori vishudushkuram. That's Krishna's Arjuna's statement in the Gita. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, and subdue it is more difficult than subduing the wind. But when your heart is into something, you're really focused. Heart means emotion, feeling, right? Like in this world, let's not talk about spiritual things right now. When your heart is really absorbed in some emotion, you don't think of anything else. Like falling in love, right? It's absorbing an emotion. You're just completely focused. And people even run into the wall when they're in love. I've seen it. They're walking along. Hey, there's a wall in front of you, buddy. And they, oh, I didn't notice. Sorry. Thank you. Or they're talking on their mobile phone for like 20 hours. We're texting. I mean, there was someone... Some people text tens of thousands of texts in 1 month. Can you imagine that? And eventually their thumbs fall off or something. So, or any sort of emotional involvement. Let's say if you go to see a movie and there's some big emotional scene, let's say a fighting scene, right? Where people are just taking guns out and people are jumping through flames. I mean, it's very exciting, isn't it? That's why people become absorbed in video games. That's one of the major problems nowadays, is video games. Why are people absorbed? Because it takes them emotionally. It actually affects them emotionally, isn't it? I mean, it's not that you have a video game where there's flowers and trees and someone's walking through the forest and there's birds chirping and everything like that. Nobody would buy that video game. Right? I mean, you know, this is boring. So when you have a video game where there's, you know, shooting people, and they're with they have this thing in the video game called a joystick. You ever heard of that before? That means the controller. And you know, there's a monster coming. I don't play video games. I just have to explain that. Only video game I ever looked at was called Pac-Man, and that was 200 years ago. So when someone's... it's emotional involvement, isn't it? Sometimes it's fear. There's different emotions we have. We have fear. We have anger. Right? We have anxiety. And whenever you have these emotions, you just don't think of other things. You just absorb. So... let's get to the holy names. So when you're emotionally involved with Krishna's holy names, you just don't think of anything. I mean, whether your emotion is stirred up because you're afraid of something in this world, let's say you have some disease. We see that sometimes. Someone has some terminal illness, and then chanting becomes really good because you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You're scared, you know, death is coming, Hare Krishna. And people chant japa very well when they're dying. No problem. Or you're in an airplane and all of a sudden, I've experienced this, all of a sudden, like the bottom drops out, you know, really, like it goes down 5,000 feet at one time. I mean, I've never chanted better japa than that, than those times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And everyone's looking at me. What are you doing? I mean, sometimes I have my japa beads out and chanting on the plane, and people say, don't be worried, everything's all right, because they think they're worry beads. You know, some people have worry beads, you know, they hold beads with an anxiety layer. And they say, everything's all right, and they put their arm on me, and everything will be all right, you know, don't worry. So isn't it your intense and your japa? Or let's say sometimes I'm sitting in the car and the driver is really a bad driver. And I chant, and he's driving too fast. And I chant, really good japa. Has anyone ever experienced that? You know, the person's just or and he's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I remember sitting with one sannyasi, who was a horrible driver, and he was driving, and he was saying, I'm driving like this to teach you how to chant good japa. Simply making an excuse for his bad driving. Sorry. And he also said, I'm yelling at you, you know, to give you an excuse. I mean, to give you an impetus to chant good japa. So I'm just proving, like, when you're emotionally involved, there's some emotion there, you're really focused. But if it's just intellectual, it's just in the head, you can't get focused. Oh, I'm supposed to chant, I'm supposed to hear. You ever do that stuff? My mind's not supposed to wander, I'm supposed to bring it back. Oh, bring it back, and then it goes out again. Bring it back, and then it goes out again. It's like a ping pong game. You know, ping pong? Table tennis? Yeah. Beep, beep, beep. The mind. Boom, 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 boom. Something like that. So how do we get our mind emotionally involved? Find our place. You know, understand, you know, where our heart is at in relationship to Krishna. Like Dhruva Maharaj. If you had told Dhruva Maharaj, don't think of a kingdom, he wouldn't have been able to have his mind absorbed, right? Is that true? If I was to go preach to Dhruva Maharaj, I'd say, this is Maya, Dhruva Maharaj. You are thinking of a kingdom. It's useless. You're going to die anyway. It's all illusion. You know, just be a pure devotee. Stop this nonsense. In fact, you know, Narada Muni almost advised him like that. When Dhruva Maharaj left the kingdom, Narada Muni tested him. He said, look, it's better you just go back and do your duties as Kshatriya. You're just a young boy. Just remember Krishna. That's the right thing to do. And Dhruva Maharaj said, I can't follow that instruction. He said, I can't follow that instruction because I'm intense. So we should also understand where our heart is at. You know, if you want to get out of this material world, the Prabhupada said we should want to go back to Godhead. And a pure devotee is Narayana Paraksa Reno Katashina Vivyati Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apituryartadashana. A pure devotee doesn't care whether he's back to Godhead here or anywhere, or even in hell, because he's serving Krishna, right? But Prabhupada said we should want to go back to Godhead. So basically, wherever you're at, understand your heart and focus it in that way. And that way you can hear the holy names. What do you want? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I want to be temple president. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No. I'm not saying that. But at least understand your own heart so you can focus your name, the names with your heart rather than just with your brain. And then you'll be successful chanting. Now, just one final point. Why was Dhruva Maharaj successful in terms of attaining pure devotional service at the end? Because he did. The material desires fell away. Does anyone know why he was successful? Let's hear if anybody can guess. In spite of having material desires. He was determined, but why was he successful? I mean, plenty of people determined. Yeah, he was compassionate. That was in the end, not in the beginning.
He was focused on the...
Yeah, the instruction of his... You got it. Because he had the association of Narada Muni. He followed the instruction of his guru. Because within that instruction, the success potency of the Lord, and within the instruction of the guru is bhakti, pure devotional service. You know, bhakti does not come from Krishna. It's independent, and it comes from Krishna's devotee. Did you know that? That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that. In other words, Krishna cannot give you bhakti. That's surprising, isn't it? Krishna's devotee gives you bhakti because bhakti is present within the devotee's heart. You know, of course, Radharani and Krishna's devotees, Lord Nityananda, they all can give you bhakti. Of course, Lord Chaitanya can give you bhakti. I understand. He's acting as a devotee. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that bhakti is independent. Bhakti resides in the devotee's heart. And when you associate and serve a Vaishnava, Yasya Prasada Bhagavad Prasada, you serve a Vaishnava like Dhruva Maharaj did. That's why he became purified by that association. So that's the key. Mahatseva Mahur Vimuktes. You serve a Vaishnava, and even though you may be the greatest rascal. Like, just one example of a rascal. In his previous life, Valmiki Muni was a rascal. Ratnagar, I think, was his name. And he was such a rascal, he would steal, kill. He was like one of these dacoits in India you read about, to pull out the guns. As I was talking to one devotee, they went bathing in the Ganges, I know, in the Jamuna one day. And this dacoit pulled out two guns and pointed it at her and said, "Give me your money." And so she did naturally what a good person should do. She gave her money. Fortunately, she didn't have that much. So that was Ratnagara. He was like that. He would stop everybody in the holy places or on the path and ask for their money. And so eventually the Sapta Rishis came and he asked for their money. And they didn't have any credit cards, of course. You know, they didn't carry that. So they said, it's bad karma. And he said, what can I do? It's my job. You know, everybody has a job. This is my job, you know. And they said, it's bad karma. He said, they asked him, why are you doing it? And he said, but the reason I'm doing it is for the benefit of my family. And the Sapta Rishis asked, will your family actually share your karma? Because they're getting the money. So he said, yes, they love me. So they said, ask your family. So he went to his wife. He said, Priya, that's how they call wives in India. Priya, do you share my karma? And she said, hell no. That's your job. You work a job. Your business is to work and give me the money. And he went to his kids and he said, Putra, will you share my karma? And they said, hey, Dad, cool it. I'm just a kid, you know. You got to pay for my university education, you know. And my what do they call, blue jeans, computer, iPad, and everything like that. Then he went back to the Sapta Rishis and said, what should I do? They said, could you chant Ram's name? And he said, no. He said, just chant what, Mara, 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 which became Ram. So here you see the example of someone really bad chanting the Lord's name under the instruction of the pure devotee, and then he achieves perfection. So much perfection is that he became the author of the Ramayana and was giving shelter later on to Lord Ram's two sons, Lava and Kush, right? And also to Sita Devi. So here's an example. So that's the key. That's actually the key. So just to summarize what I've said in class, be honest about your desires. I mean, you don't have to tell me about them, but just be honest internally about them. Not that you hang them out, you know, put them on the internet. These are my desires. But be honest to yourself about your desires, what you want. Be honest with Krishna about these things. Chant with your heart and follow the instructions of the pure devotee. And this way you'll be focused and achieve spiritual perfection. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
When we associate with some leader or superior devotee,
senior,
senior devotee, we get his mood. You know, if he's jovial, if he's happy to reach, we become like him, or we decide to. Other times we associate with some devotee more so-called street, that he said there are a lot of problems that we have to solve by being strict, like this.
Strict.
Strict,
yeah.
And then we become like him because, you know, association is to be infected with the same mood.
Yes, that's true.
At one point, what is our...
You're asking an interesting question because I know who you're talking about. I know both devotees. So, that's an interesting question. So the point is, we have to know our own situation in Krishna consciousness. If we become too much dependent, of course we love the association of others, but if we become too influenced by others, we're too weak. We have to become strong enough so we have our own personality. So we're not like just simply like sponges. You know sponges? The sponge like absorbs wherever it is. So we have to become completely, yeah, in other words, strong. The problem with being in an institution, now you got me started. The problem with being an institution is devotees, sometimes people in an institution, sometimes become so weak and dependent on others. I mean, I hear this all the time. The Maharaj, we only feel enthusiastic when you're here. Or we have to have a sannyasi here to be enthusiastic. We have to have... But, you know, Krishna's given you everything. I joined the movement, you know, and after 6 months I was going out and opening up temples. Not because I'm any different. I'm far worse than the rest of you. But, you know, this need for autonomy was fulfilled. You know, I wanted to have my own life, my own decisions in life. Like Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is like learning to fly an airplane. In the beginning, you have someone who flies. Did anyone ever fly an airplane here? I did. No. No one ever here has a pilot license? No. Anyway, so I learned how to fly an airplane. I mean, not a big airplane, not a 747 or anything, but, you know, what's called a Cessna. You know, small plane. So I was learning. And then whoever's teaching is sitting in another seat, and there's two steering wheels. You know what a steering wheel is? Two steering wheels, two sets of control controls, and he's saying, you know, he's there. So in case you go down when you're supposed to go up, he can take control. Even sometimes when you're learning to drive a car, there's at least the other person has a brake there. A brake. So that's called dual thing. So you're learning, you're steering like that, and he's there. But after a while, he says, all right, it's time to take the plane up by yourself. And you go, me? Wouldn't you like to sit here at the same time? But that's called solo flying. There's dual flying and solo flying. If anyone's gone to flying school, they know what I'm talking about. And then you get in the plane, and then you're looking around. You adjust the pitch of the propellers. I tell you how to fly, actually. You adjust the pitch of the propellers, and you push the throttle forward. And you're going down the runway. It's time to pull up the flaps. And then you hit the sky. But unless you go, whew. But then it becomes the hard part, landing. That's even harder. Because if you land the wrong way. My father was flying and he broke the wheels one time when he was landing, broke his jaw. But anyway, so, because we had our own plane. So it's like that, you know, that we have to learn how to fly solo too. At least after, you know, 200 years in the Hare Krishna movement. You know, we have to be able to, you know, of course we're never flying solo, absolutely, but we have to be ready, you know, just wherever we are, to take up Prabhupada's books, listen to Prabhupada's classes, or listen to some Vaishnava's classes, take association. Like Prabhupada said, there was one of my godbrothers, Srivakram Maharaj, who was going, I think it was to Korea, and he says, no one is here. I'm all alone. Send someone. Prabhupada said, no, the whole Panchatattva was there with you. He said, what about association? And Prabhupada said, yeah, my books, you know, and all that other stuff. So, devotees, you know, it's a problem, like I said, in an institution. We tend to become too dependent on others. I mean, we like others' association, but we should develop our own mood in devotional service. So what I find personally is that, you know, I can associate with people who are conservative or liberal. And, you know, I can understand, appreciate, and like, and even relate to them on their level. And without being influenced myself. So really, it's important to come to that platform. Especially after one's been in the movement a few years. It's just because at the time of death, you're not going to be able to communicate with anybody. Because the eyesight goes, the hearing goes, the senses go, and then where's my good association? Where's Gurudev? Of course, he may call on the phone. Hare Krishna, go back to Godhead. Yeah. Well, you know. Oh, Hare Krishna, take another birth, you know. Like that. So, we do, so we should become strong like that. That's. I hope that's a good answer to your question. So, we can go anywhere and everywhere and preach. Like Prabhupada. He could live with complete rascals like us, and he was always the same. And he could associate with his god brothers, and they had different moods, and he was always the same. So we have to develop that stability, that internal association with Krishna, with Krishna, and a taste for Krishna's. Another thing is a taste for Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's holy dham. You know, like I mean, just to reveal my own self that I'm thinking. I'm very attached to Govardhan. I guess everybody knows that. And so, you know, I'm just always thinking about Govardhan. You know that, and that keeps me centered, in spite of wherever I am in the world. Always thinking. I mean, even this morning, I walked over to the imprint of Krishna's feet with a little cow there. You have right there. You know that. I just like felt ecstasy. I just looked at it. I said, "Wow." And I remember where that came from, you know, where it was, it came from this place right in the middle of Govardhan, which is Shamkutir. Has anyone been to Shamkutir? No. That's where that's where the original of that is in Shamkutir, where the Ratna Singhasana is. You've seen that, right? That's actually where that print is. It's in a little covered area. So it reminds me. So if you have these internal life like that, that wherever you go and whoever you're with, you'll always be stable in devotional service. We should try eventually not to be too dependent upon external things. Of course, we like association. You know, I like association with people who are super strict, and I also like association with people who are more on that spontaneous platform. I like all the Vaishnavas, so because it's all nice. But develop your own level. I mean, because we all have our own level of strictness and sadhana. I mean, like I have my sadhana. I get up early every morning. It doesn't matter who I'm with, whether they're strict or loose. I get up early, and I'm with someone who's more spontaneous. I make fun of them if they don't get up early. You know, you know, I have some god brothers who are more spontaneous than that. You know, I'm up at 3:30 in the morning, and they're getting up at, you know, 5, 6. And I said, "Well, you should join the Hare Krishna movement one day." And they get angry with me, but it's a friendly, joking relationship. So, you know, this way I can relate to someone. Or if someone's too strict, someone says, "You shouldn't eat carrots." I say, and then I pull out a carrot and go, "See?" So I maintain this. I think a sense of humor helps in all circumstances. Because if we take ourselves too seriously also, we take devotional service, we take ourselves too seriously, we just get like an anxiety all the time. So I just have a sense of humor. I learn how to tease the strict people and the loose people. And the people with mobile phones. Yes, devotional music. I mean, some people have a ring on their phone that goes, "With Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." That's kind of nice. So, just one other question. What's another question?
Goal of the soul, because then what would be the goal for the liberated soul?
While
bhakti is the goal for both.
Bhakti is the ultimate goal. Panchama Purushartha. However, like Prabhupada indicated, Dhruva Maharaj indicates that we have other goals in the meantime, so just go to Krishna for them. You know, we have to be honest. Like, you know, it's not honest to say to someone, "The only desire I have is to be a pure devotee." It may be one of your desires, but it's not the only one. I mean, who here can say that? Honestly, "The only desire I have is to be a pure devotee."
I mean, be honest. That's all I'm asking for. And Dhruva Maharaj, it says here, he said he was cognizant. That means aware of the defective nature of his own. He was aware it was defective. But he was honest about it. It's not that he was hiding it. You know, he wasn't chanting, you know, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I don't want any material things. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I don't want any material things. All I want is your causeless devotional service, life after life. Om Namo Bhagavate. He was honest. He said, Krishna, I have this desire in my heart. I mean, he felt repentant. That's another thing, which is manifest in this verse. He said, you know, I know it's not a good, you know, the highest thing, but this is my desire, my heart. So he was honest with Krishna. But so we want to be honest in our movement. That's a real problem, that oftentimes we're not honest about our own level internally to ourselves. And then we end up in trouble in devotional service. Because if you think you're in a higher level than you're actually at, you're gonna be like someone imitating Hanuman. You're going to fall flat on your face. So it's just basically, that's what I see because I'm not progressing, but as I get older, is that honesty is the best policy. And don't try to let people think that you're better than you are. You know, don't put on a facade. You know, facade? Facade means a mask. I'm a pure devotee. You've offended me. You haven't brought me the right food. Where are my mangoes? Like that. You know, so I would say, like, it's, you know, people appreciate honesty. You know, sometimes, I mean, what was it? One person praised me in a very nice way. Like, it was the best praise I ever got. He said, hey, you're a regular person. He said, before I met you, I didn't think you'd be a regular person. You know, yeah, because you think that people have to fulfill a certain role, you act in a role. Okay, it's time to be a guru. Okay. Blessings. Blessings, my son, my daughter. You know, I can't do that. It's just like, it's too crazy. It's better just to be whoever you are, and you're devoted. You know, try to be a devotee of Krishna and be honest with whoever, whatever you have for devotional service. Isn't it? It's nice to be honest, not to try to hide something from people. Your whole life is hiding. So, everyone's shocked. Anyway, so. Yeah.
We're talking about having the desires is not offensive, just maintaining them.
Maintaining them, yeah.
But having them becomes maintaining them, you
know? Yeah, I mean, if you try to increase them, maintain them, oh, I got this nice material desire. You know, I have a desire. Yes, I have a desire to eat pizza. Whatever. Anyway. So. Anyway, it's not wrong. You can go to the restaurant, you know, the Hare Krishna restaurant, and eat pizza. Or you can go to Italy. Hare Krishna will invite you to Italy. So you dovetail your desires in Krishna consciousness, right? So even it is a material desire to want to eat pizza. I mean, what can I say? I'm sorry. I apologize. But it is a desire. You know, this is a thing. Go to have a devotee cook pizza for you. What's the problem? You're not going to be like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who takes all the different food and mixes it up. You know, the sweet and the salty and the bitter, and just mixes it up in one like pot like that. You know, you have a desire to have tasty food, right? Yeah, so go get your pizza, but offer it to Krishna. Make sure it's the right type of cheese and everything like that, right? And pasta. You need a lot of pasta. You're too thin. Buddha should make pasta for Hare Krishna today. Mountain pasta. And pesto and everything like that. And some nice Krishna conscious ravioli. Ravioli. He likes ravioli. Oh, can't make us. Sorry. It's a goddessy. So, tomorrow, to break the fast, you make all those nice things for him. He will be very happy. So, anyway, so yes, I mean, we all have so many desires. But you don't want to increase them. And also you should feel that, you know, eventually I want to get rid of them. And just one other story I'll tell before we end classes. When I first joined the movement, you know, I definitely had a lot of desires to enjoy the tongue, much more than I have today. To me, being in the Hare Krishna movement was just filling up the time between prasadam. You know, prasadam 3 times a day, and just like doing some service so I would deserve the prasadam when it was over. So then I would look at some other devotees who were eating less, a little more austere, and they were more advanced. And I would say, oh my God, I hope I never become advanced in devotional service. If that's what it means. You know, so, you know, we have to respect everyone at whatever platform they're at in devotional service. But at least they're eating prasadam, chanting the Lord's holy names, whatever. I mean, so we shouldn't criticize. Actually, Krishna says you shouldn't disturb the mind of those who are materially attached, but encourage them to work in the spirit of devotion. That's Bhagavad Gita. Don't disturb the people's minds. Like, you have so many desires. Like, you go up to a lady who's wearing all these earrings, and she's chanting Hare Krishna. She says, "Zoo, you're decorating this dead body. Don't you understand? It's just a bag of stool, mucus, and urine. You should decorate the deities instead of your ugly body." No, you don't say that to her. You say, "Oh, it's nice you're chanting Hare Krishna." That's all. Right? You have to be practical. So, and you have to do the same thing with yourself, too. Don't, you know, heavy yourself out, you know. You get into all these guilt trips and have anxiety attacks. You know, I have all these desires. I really want to eat pizza. Oh, no, I'm in Maya. I'm offender of the holy names because I want to eat pizza. You know, so, no, you're not an offender. You know, just so in other words, don't misunderstand that last offense. I mean, the 10th offense.
Yeah. We hear the tape, Prabhupada, there is an ice cream man who's playing carillon.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada said, "Who is this man?" And the devotee said, "He's an ice cream man." And Prabhupada said, don't take this Maya. So in that,
because it wasn't prasadam.
No,
there was an ice cream man. You know, we have that in America. We have it's called the good humor man. There's a man, and people go around in trucks and they play songs and everything like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, they don't chant. But, and so all the kids run out. When I was young, I would run out and ask my mother for money. I'd run out. You have those things here too? And if we go to all the ice cream, it had eggs in it. It had all sorts of stuff in it that we shouldn't eat. And it wasn't devotee yet. You know, it wasn't made by devotees. So, yes, that would be increasing material desires to do something like that. But they gave Prabhupada ice cream. And they even brought, mango ice cream from New Vrindavan when Prabhupada was ready to leave the planet. They brought it in dry ice. You know what dry ice is? Like carbon dioxide, solid carbon dioxide. And they brought it all the way from New Vrindavan, which is America, to India. And Prabhupada tasted it. Very nice, but I can't eat very much. Because he couldn't eat at that time, but he tasted it in the tip of his tongue. I mean, we have so many preparations that are very tasty. Isn't it? Jalebis, so many things. And Prabhupada never prohibited cooking those things. He said, if you want to taste nice prasadam, you cook it and offer it to the deity. So Prabhupada was acknowledging we have material desires. If you want to taste something nice, you offer it to Krishna. That's not the highest standard. The highest standard is you give Krishna what he wants, and whatever he gives you, you accept, right? But Prabhupada said, if you want to taste some nice food, offer it to Krishna. So there's dovetailing. So ice cream is not Maya. But you know, it should be offered to Krishna and hopefully prepared by the devotees, right? Isn't it, they have ice cream in the store, in the Hare Krishna restaurant here, or no?
In the temple.
In the temple, yeah. You have Leet Govinda with his ice cream machine, right? And he's making so much money. It's 24 hours a day during the summer, he's making ice cream. And all the brahmacharis are buying. So, I mean, it's practical. So instead of going outside and buying ice cream, they're buying from him. So it's dovetailing. It's nice. So Prabhupada said we shouldn't. Because the devotees, when they first joined the movement, they were going to so many restaurants and eating so much food that would contaminate the consciousness. Like that, they had this coffee and donut shop right next to the temple on 26 Second Avenue. You know what a donut is? Donut is like a cake with a hole in it. So the devotees would still go there. Prabhupada would walk by the donut store and the devotees would sink down in their seat. They'd go like this. So Prabhupada wouldn't see them. So that's maintaining material attachments. You understand? Or disobeying the order of the spiritual master too. But you can make donuts and offer them to Krishna. When I was a new sannyasi, I would make donuts all the time and offer them to Krishna. Even bought a donut machine. You know, donut machine? They have the machines where it's electric and you just put the donut batter in, just press it, and 3 minutes later, out comes a donut. So I even bought a donut machine. So I don't do that anymore. I made a little advancement since then. I even bought an ice cream machine. So it's a sannyasi with an ice cream machine and a donut machine. But unfortunately, now all I eat is, you know, raw vegetables, raw fruits, and a little carrot or something like that, like a rabbit. So, but anyway, so by the process of devotional service, you're able to conquer the senses. It takes some time, though. We can't impose a higher standard on people before they're ready to accept that. But we can ask them to dovetail in Krishna's service. All right, you'd like to eat ice cream? Prepare it, offer it to Panchatattva. Wonderful, isn't it? That's wonderful. So, I think we have to end because it's time for prasad and time for ice cream. All glory to the divine grace, to the Prabhupada, to the Prabhupada, to you, John.